This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Woodcutter Werebear. Written by T.S. Joyce. Performed by Mackenzie Hart. Chapter 1. Kellen Brown stared at the flower arrangements in the cooler in the produce section of the grocery store. He'd been standing here for 5 minutes, trying to figure out which bouquet Brooke would like best. A grin took his face. She was coming home, and everything was going to be okay again. The Ash crew had been broken without her, but now she would be back, and they would all take good care of her, so she'd never have to leave again. His uncle used to bring his mother roses. Mom always said they were her favorite. With a frown to ward off the memories, he picked a bouquet of pink roses, then rolled a wonky wheeled cart toward a bored-looking cashier. "Looks like you're having a party," the woman in front of him said so softly. Even with his oversensitive hearing, he almost missed it. She was a mousy-looking woman who'd managed to hide herself completely in an oversized red and black flannel shirt with clunky boots over black leggings. Her dark hair was down and long, covering most of her face. A flash of stunning green froze him in place as she glanced at him, then away. "Yeah," he murmured. "Brooke is coming back home. Such an occasion deserves a celebration." The woman swiped her credit card for the small amount of groceries she was purchasing and gave him a confused look. "Well, this Brooke sounds like a lucky woman." "She is. We all are." The woman couldn't hold his stare, not even for a moment. He drew air into his nostrils, scenting her to see if his suspicions were true. Fruit body wash, the soft smell that girls possess, and an undercurrent of animal struck him. "I know what you are." "What?" the woman whispered. She gave him another flash of those stunning eyes she was trying to keep hidden, but this time they looked scared.
"I don't know which exact animal you are, but I know what you are," he clarified.
"Thank you," she said to the baffled-looking cashier who handed her a receipt. With a frown for Kellen, she practically ran out of the store, her plastic bags of food bumping her legs. Kellen sighed as he watched her leave. He'd never been good with women. Or anyone, really. He made people uncomfortable for some reason. Tegan, his alpha, said people just didn't understand him, or the way he was raised. But sometimes it felt like more than that. Sometimes it felt like he'd never be able to hold a conversation with anyone outside of the Ash crew. That revelation made him lonely. There was an old Coke machine outside the store, one that sold glass bottles of soda. He always got one when he came into town, but when he saw the woman waiting on a bench out front, he bought two. Kellen settled the cart against the backrest so it wouldn't roll away, then sat down beside her.
"I'm sorry I made you mad. Forgive me?"
He handed her the cold bottle and popped the top of his own. She took the bottle slowly, leaning away from him, as if he was handing her the working parts of a bomb. "There's nothing to forgive. I don't know you." Damn, she was good at hiding her face. He wanted to see her eyes again, but she'd pulled all that dark hair in front of her and wouldn't tilt her head his way. "You shouldn't sit by me. My boyfriend will be here any minute to pick me up, and he'll be very angry if he sees you talking to me."
"Why?" Kellen asked.
"Why what?"
"Why would he be mad at you talking to another person?"
"Because that's the way men are. They're jealous and possessive."
"No, that's not the way they have to be. It's only the way some men choose to be. Here, let me."
Kellen opened her soda, then handed her the metal top. "You said you know what I am," she whispered. "How did you know?"
He smiled at a mother bustling her trio of young children across the street. "Because we're not so different."
Without any thought, he reached out and ran the knuckle of his finger from underneath her chin to the base of her throat. The woman froze, but allowed it. "You shouldn't do that. My boyfriend." She couldn't seem to find any more words.
"I'm Kellen Cade Brown," he said. When she didn't answer, he asked, "What's your name?"
Her attention darted this way and that, everywhere but at him. "I shouldn't. Skylar. My name is Skylar."
"Beautiful name for a beautiful woman," he said matter-of-factly. With a nod of his head, he tinked his bottle of soda against hers.
Your girlfriend wouldn't like you saying those things to another woman, Skylar said.
My girlfriend?
Brooke, the one you bought the flowers for.
Ah, she wouldn't mind. She's nice.
You're strange, Skylar muttered. Those two words gutted him. Sure, they were true, but he hadn't wanted to hear that from her. He wanted Skylar to see him differently than everyone else did. He hunched inward against the pain.
Yeah.
He choked on the word as he stood. He smiled at her, but she wouldn't see it. She was still doing a bang-up job of avoiding his eyes.
It's nice to meet you, Skylar.
Another flash of green as she canted her head. A sharp gesture. It would have told him what she was, even if his nose wasn't working today. She lowered her gaze to the toes of his work boots, and he wondered if all of her kind were so submissive. I shouldn't have said that, she murmured. It was mean. I'm strange, too.
No, he said as he pulled a pink rose from the bouquet that rested in the cart and set it on the bench beside her. You're perfect.
Kellen gripped the cart handle and avoided the urge to look back at her again for the chance to see those stunning eyes once more. Pushing the cart toward the crosswalk, he gritted his teeth against the hurt in his chest.
Kellen?
Skylar asked. When he turned, she was standing by the bench with her face angled toward the ground, holding the flower and the full bottle of Coke in front of her thighs.
I don't think my boyfriend is coming for me. Can you give me a ride to my house?
Kellen looked around the parking lot, astounded that her asshole boyfriend would leave her here without a ride.
Sure, my truck is over there.
He dragged the cart back to her, picked up her grocery bags from beside the bench, loaded them with his, and jerked his head toward his ride. Come on. She followed a few paces behind, and the first tendrils of suspicion curled around his heart. He couldn't tell if she was naturally submissive or if she was scared, but the idea of the latter ignited something ugly in his gut. He didn't like when women were scared.
Are you afraid of me? He asked when he was settled behind the wheel and she was sitting as far across the bench seat of his truck as possible.
No, but I should be.
No, you shouldn't. I'd never hurt you. What are you afraid of?
Being seen with you.
Her answer was simple and honest, but it didn't do anything to stifle the flame in his stomach.
Where do you live?
Take a ride on Westbridge Ave and take it all the way through town. Roger owns a cabin outside of the city limits. Roger is my boyfriend, she explained.
The way she kept saying boyfriend bothered him. Not because he was jealous, but because the word lacked emotion. She could have been saying acquaintance or as much feeling as she put in the title.
Is Roger your mate? He asked, testing her.
She jerked her gaze to his, then away.
You shouldn't talk like that, she warned him in a low voice.
Is he?
Yes.
Her voice cracked, as if she hadn't used it in a while, and the flame in his gut became brighter.
You aren't submissive naturally, are you?
Skylar turned the knob on the radio volume until it blared a country song at an uncomfortable level.
Fine. She didn't want to talk, and her life wasn't his business anyhow. That's what Tegan would tell him. And Tegan knew about people. He was good at talking to them and making them feel comfortable.
He was good at negotiations with the log buyers when the ash crew had acquired enough clean lumber to sell to the sawmill in Saratoga. If Tegan was sitting in the truck with him right now, he'd tell Kellen to drop the woman off and hightail it back to Ashland Mobile Park, where home was. A 15-minute drive with blaring music and Skylar's occasional direction brought him to a stop in front of a large log cabin off a dirt road. Skylar let off a shaky breath after she scanned the front yard.
Good, he's not here.
Thank you for the ride. Skylar turned and graced him with a tremulous smile.
And for the flower. And the Coke, too.
She was beautiful.
Pert nose and high cheekbones. Thin lips in a pretty shade of pink. And those eyes. They looked even brighter, surrounded by all that purple bruising.
She pushed the door open, but Kellen leaned over her lap and pulled it closed so hard the truck rocked. Who the fuck did that to your face?
Skylar froze, looking terrified, but he didn't give a shit if his bear was making his face look savage right now. He wanted to kill whoever dared lift a hand to this woman, to any woman. He didn't mean to...
Bullshit. He did, and you know it. How many times?
How many times? He asked, his voice tapering to a snarl on the last word.
Holy crap, she said, cowering against the window. What are you?
Skylar, I swear to everything that is wrong in this world. If you don't tell me who did this to you, I'm not going to be able to control my shift. Who?
Roger.
Your boyfriend?
Not my boyfriend, she admitted. My new mate.
Did you pick him?
Kellen, I don't think...
Tell me how it works for your kind.
He gripped the wheel until his knuckles popped and raged white. She stared at his hands with wide eyes.
Females don't pick. Males do.
That's all I needed to know. Buckle up.
What? No, I have to go inside before he comes home.
Kellen shot her a warning look. Look, he didn't hit me. I popped off and he pushed me. I turned to escape him and tripped on the damn mat under the sink. I fell against the corner of the countertop. This was the first time he ever got really physical with...
It won't be the last.
I don't even know him.
He huffed a humorless laugh. If this woman understood how well he knew Roger without even meeting him, she'd stop talking and come with him. Kellen had been raised by a son of a bitch just like her mate, and he'd be hanged by the neck before he saw her end up like his mom did. I know him well enough. Buckle up, or I'll do it for you.
Kellen,
with a snarl, he reached over her lap and jerked the seatbelt into place. When she was fastened in, he peeled out of the yard, shooting gravel behind them, and blasted back down the dirt road.
You plan on leaving him?
It's not that simple.
It is.
No, it's not. We obviously don't have the same traditions that you and your people do.
Yeah? It's customary to shove on women in your crew, is it?
Sometimes it's just the way it has to be.
Her voice rang with hopelessness.
Poor shit. There's no excuse, no reason. You're coming home with me.
Why?
Her voice catapulted up an octave.
Because, he said, daring a glance at her. I'm going to show you how a woman should be treated.
She turned her face slowly to the front window.
I'm being kidnapped.
Kellen snorted. No, beautiful. You're being rehabilitated.
Chapter 2. Skylar was going to have a full-blown panic attack right in the cab of Kellen's truck. She didn't even know why she'd struck up a conversation with him in the line at the grocery store. She'd watched him agonize over which bouquet of flowers to pick, and something about his thoughtfulness had struck her as sweet. She'd known Roger for 3 months, but it was abundantly clear he'd never buy her flowers, unless it was to throw at her gravestone. He hated her almost as much as she hated him. He had told her he'd asked the council to be mated to her because he cared for her, but he didn't. He just wanted a trophy he could dominate, so all the other warriors could see how macho and powerful he was. Roger was a grade A, class 10 asshole behind his charming serpent smile. She was the unlucky one who'd been chosen by the great Roger Crestfall. He'd broken her in a few short months. But hey, he was a legacy with a bright future. She was supposed to be grateful for the life he'd forced her into. And apparently, she was on a streak of questionable luck because Kellen had decided to kidnap her on the day Roger had demanded she be a better mate and make him dinner. One he can actually eat this time, Roger's words. Kellen had said it wouldn't be the last time her mate pushed her. And he was right. Everything in her had rattled with the truth of her situation when Kellen had spouted off that it would happen again. It would. And next time it would be worse. The only thing she could do was be perfect, do everything Roger demanded, and try to minimize the risk. She had no choice if she wanted the protection of her people. Leaving him wasn't easy, like Kellen had said. Leaving her mate meant banishment. Did she love Roger? No. She was scared of him,
enough to evoke some kind of sick loyalty to him so he wouldn't hurt her again. She used to be stronger than this.
Kellen, please take me home. I don't want to go wherever you are taking me. I want to go back where I live with my mate.
Perhaps if she said it enough times, Kellen would listen. He talked in an odd manner, much too open about what they were. Geez, he'd practically outed her shifter status in front of the cashier in the grocery store. He had a blatantly honest way of speaking that made her nervous. Men didn't give away anything for free, especially not feelings. He didn't answer, only turned up the radio like she'd done earlier. She spoke louder.
What will Brooke say when you bring me to your place? She'll be angry.
You speak of anger a lot, yet you aren't an angry person. You aren't mad that your face is bruised up because that prick made a bad decision. Brooke won't be angry. She's been hurt, too.
Okay, so did he collect broken women? She didn't understand. Does your kind take multiple mates?
Kellen threw her disgusted look, then dragged his gaze back to the road. We mate for life.
Well, so do we.
We also pick our mates. Do you love Roger?
She wanted to say yes. Damn it, it was right on the tip of her tongue, that bitter, burning lie. If she said yes, Kellen might take her back. He thought he was saving her by stealing her away. But she'd only have hell to pay when Roger found her. And Roger wouldn't stop with her. He'd bleed Kellen for taking his trophy. The drive stretched on and on. Every time she twisted in her seat to plead with Kellen to take her back, his face turned severe and determined, and he gripped the steering wheel harder. He drove them through miles of piney forest and winding roads without a word.
She didn't know Kellen. He could be an axe murderer, and now she was in his truck, headed into the wilderness. No one knew who she was with or where she was going. She'd been so dumb to ask him for a ride, and now her stupid instinct seemed to be broken completely because she wasn't freaking out half as much as she should have been. That was a bad sign, right? When a man was charismatic enough to steal her away, and she hadn't even tried to jump out of the truck once in the last hour.
Where do you live?
She asked. Kellen turned down the music and smiled. You mean where do we live? I'm going to keep you safe. Remember? She cast her shocked gaze out the window to the blurred greens and muddy browns that passed by as Kellen hit the gas on the straightaway.
If my mate found out I was living with you?
He's not your mate, beautiful. Best you stop calling him that.
Do you think...
Skylar inhaled deeply and organized her thoughts, then tried again.
Do you think you're my mate?
No, because again, you didn't choose me. I'm not taking you away from that prick so you can be some sort of sex slave for me, Skylar. I'm taking you so you can get a break from your life. And see, there is more out there than some asshole with a temper problem. You got a job?
Not anymore.
Let me guess. He doesn't want you to work, because he claims he wants to take care of you.
Bingo. Fuck. This strange talking, sexy stranger was hitting the nail on the head at every turn.
She narrowed her eyes at him.
How do you know so much about the psyche of a man like Roger?
You don't want to know.
Yes, I do.
Kellen looked over at her once, twice, confusion pooling in the deep chocolate brown of his eyes. He cleared his throat, as if the thought of speaking about himself made him uncomfortable. Roger doesn't want you to work, because he wants to keep you dependent. He cut off your money. The best remedy for that is to take your independence back.
I don't even know what job I would do.
What did you do before Roger?
Don't laugh, but I was a skydiving instructor.
Why would I laugh? That's awesome.
She waited for him to take it back or tell her he really thought it was stupid that she'd take such risk at her job, like Roger had done. But Kellen didn't.
Instead, he asked, so did you jump out of planes with your students?
Sometimes I did, and sometimes I instructed them before they went up with other teachers. As part of a team, I loved... Her voice caught suddenly, and she swallowed her heartbreak down. I love flying, she said on a breath.
His startled eyes landed on her,
Then he directed his attention back to the road.
Did you have sex with him?
The question was so inappropriate and unexpected, she gasped. Kellen, you shouldn't ask things like that.
We're friends now, Skylar. I'm going to be your friend. And friends can talk about this stuff. Did you have sex?
A flash of red anger blasted through her, and she clenched the strap of her purse to keep from verbally reaming him.
Not that it's any of your business, but no.
I've been putting him off. I told him I didn't want to until the ceremony. That's why...
Fuck.
That's why he pushed you.
She didn't answer. Couldn't. Shame heated her cheeks as she remembered how hard he'd tried to get her to sleep with him before she'd screamed at him. That's what got her the black eye. She had dared to tell him no, and she'd gone farther and yelled at him as she denied him. Men like Roger didn't take rejection well.
No ceremony, no sex, no mark, no mate. You're a free woman, Skylar. You can pick whoever you want. You can sleep with whoever you want. You can work wherever you want.
Kellen, she whispered, heart in her throat. You make it sound so simple, but it isn't for me.
Tell me the consequences of not being with that man. Make me understand.
I'll be banished from my people. They won't offer me protection, and I'll be alone. It's dangerous for people like me. We survive best in pairs and groups.
Why is it dangerous?
Humans finding out what I am, for one. And two, my people are at war. They always have been, I guess. If I don't have the protection of my people, I'll be picked off by our enemies. They'll spit on my carcass and never think twice about my death.
That won't happen.
Kellen's hands had a stranglehold on the steering wheel.
It won't, because I won't let anyone hurt you.
You don't know how powerful my people are, and my bloodline is important to them.
She sighed and shrugged her shoulders, as if to ward away her misery.
Roger is a good fighter, and he was born a shifter, not turned. He's a legacy. He's helped to win important battles, and that's how he won the right to take me as a mate. I'm a breeder.
A breeder?
Yeah, when it's...
I know what a fucking breeder is, Skylar. I'm just not buying that you actually believe that is all you are. Your people don't deserve you.
God, he didn't understand at all. It was so easy for him to judge her, but he didn't really know. This was how she'd been raised. She'd been born into a culture of people at odds with their own kind. Rules were in place to ensure the survival of her species. Apparently Kellen's people, whatever and whoever they were, didn't care about longevity.
You want a baby with Roger? He asked, his voice hard as steel. You think he'd make a good father to your offspring?
No,
she said, voice trembling. How long do you think you're going to be able to put him off? What was your plan? He'll force the issue sooner or later, and you'll be hurt. And any kid you have...
A long, low snarl came from him. Kellen slammed down on the brakes and doubled over. The truck was still rolling slowly forward, foot by foot, but Kellen had his eyes closed and couldn't see where to steer. And now they were headed for the edge of the road that dropped off to a steep embankment. With a squeak of terror, Skylar slammed her hand against his knee until the brake hit the floorboard, then threw the gear shift into park.
Kellen, not here!
I can't. Fuck.
His breath was ragged, and red crept up his neck, up a scar that stretched across his face that she hadn't noticed before. His shoulders heaved, and the air became heavy with something powerful, just above her senses. Desperate not to die in the truck with whatever was tearing its way slowly out of Kellen right now, she reached over him and shoved his door open. Unbuckling him, she prayed he wouldn't eat her. She'd never met another type of shifter before. She was in control of her thoughts when she turned, but would he be? She pushed him hard, and he hit the gravel road with a thud. Curled on his side, he grunted in pain. The keys were dangling from the steering column, and her kidnapper was utterly helpless as he tried not to shift. She could leave. She could shut the door and drive back the way they came and go back to Roger before he noticed she was gone. Skylar gripped the door handle
prepared to shut it and speed back to her life. Back to her crappy, hopeless, fear-riddled life.
Trust me,
Kellen said in a ragged whisper. She must have misheard him. What?
Don't leave. Just me. Ah!
His neck snapped backward, and his eyes watered with anguish. The soft brown color had been replaced by an intense silver, and the thick muscles in his neck strained. Hell, Kellen was going through hell trying not to shift. She could go back to her horrid life, or she could take a chance with Kellen. She could stay and take a break from the suck. She slid from the truck and cradled his head. One day, and you'll take me back.
One day, and you'll beg me not to.
She drew up short. He seemed so confident. If he knew the people he was pissing off, he wouldn't be so keen on keeping her near. One day. His eyes never left hers as he nodded once.
Let him out, she whispered against his ear. I won't leave you. Not yet. Let your animal out and stop the pain.
An agonized groan left his lips and tapered into a growl.
Get in the truck.
He didn't have to ask her twice. She scampered in, shut the door, then hit the automatic lock for good measure. And when she looked up, the back of a giant beast rose above the window line.
Son of a biscuit,
she murmured in awe as she took in the full, furred, fanged expanse of Kellen Cade Brown. He was a bear, and not one of those plump, tame ones she had seen bumbling around in a circus once. He was 1 ton of toned, muscled, ferocious, scar-faced, pitch-black, snarling grizzly. As he stood on his hind legs and shook his enormous blockhead, she gasped at his full height. He had to be 12 feet tall. Her heart pounded, threatening to eject from her chest cavity, and a scream lodged in her throat, making it impossible to breathe. He could rip through this truck like it was a can of tuna if he wanted to. He lowered himself to all fours, never taking his eyes from hers. And slowly, his animal retracted until he was human, and utterly naked on his knees by the truck. So bear shifters could go back and forth between their animal and human sides almost immediately. She couldn't do that. She had to stay an animal for half an hour, at least. His clothes lay in tatters on the ground around him. She searched frantically in the back seat for an extra set, but all she found was a bolted pair of jeans on the floorboard. They smelled clean, but had dark stains and tattered holes in the knees. Work pants. She slipped from the truck when Kellen pumped his hands as if they ached. He stared down at his sharp nails, which were still retracting.
Are you okay?
She asked, dropping to her knees in front of him. She held the jeans clutched to her chest.
Hurts,
was all he said in a hoarse voice. Looking around to make sure no one was barreling down the road to see this, she slid her hand across Kellen's back. His muscles were tensed, but as she massaged the knots, he relaxed little by little.
You're a bear shifter, she said low.
Tracing faint, curved scars across his back, she said,
You fight grizzlies. No wonder you don't fear my people.
Kellen huffed a laugh, then leaned back on his heels, apparently unconcerned with his lack of clothing. His eyes were brown again, the same color as his hair, which was short on the sides and longer on top, tousled in that sexy, I just got out of bed and don't care look. It was the first time she'd really taken time to study him. She'd been working so hard to hide her face on those damn telling bruises, proof of her weakness, that she hadn't really seen him. Smile lines bracketed full lips with a scar on one side, and his eyebrows were dark and animated. His neck was thick with muscle that led to perfectly defined pecs and tiny pert nipples that had drawn up against the stiff breeze. Bulging muscles flexed across his stomach with each ragged breath he drew. His shoulders were broad and defined, and his chest rippled as he dragged a hand through his chestnut-colored hair, as if his scalp still tingled from the change. Strips of muscle hooked over his hip bones and delved toward his thick, long, half-mast erection. Embarrassed at staring,
She jerked her gaze from between his thighs and looked at his face again. His eyes dropped to her outstretched hand, and she gasped and yanked it back. When had she started reaching out for him? The corners of his eyes tightened as he dragged his gaze back to hers.
I don't mind if you look at me, Skylar.
She shouldn't. She was promised to Roger, but crouching here, in the middle of nowhere, it was so tempting to do something she wanted to do instead of something she was told to do. With her gaze, she traced his ribs, pressing against his skin with every breath, his strong arms and his long, lean legs folded under him. With a steadying breath, she allowed herself to look at his thick, hard erection standing rigid between his thighs. She released her breath slowly, then handed him his jeans. Thank you, she said, shrugging off the embarrassment that blanketed her. Kellen didn't look uncomfortable at all. In fact, he seemed to be studying her reaction.
You touched me. My back. You rubbed my back. Does that mean you aren't afraid of me anymore?
Why does it bother you so much whether I'm afraid or not?
Because I'd never hurt you. I'd never let anyone hurt you. I don't want you to be afraid. Not ever. Why did you just thank me?
Her cheeks were on fire and she dropped her chin so her hair covered her face. For letting me look at you and not making me feel bad about it. Roger isn't my type. She squeezed her eyes tightly closed at her misstep. I mean,
no. Say what you want to say.
Kellen lifted her chin and smoothed her hair away from her face, then brushed the lightest touch over her bruised cheek.
I like it best if people just say what they mean. I get confused by games.
Okay, she believed him. He spoke differently, more honestly, so she could see how it would be confusing for someone like him if she only offered half-truths. I don't like the way Roger treats me. His meanness has made me dislike everything about him. The way his hair gets greasy when he doesn't wash it. And the way he smells like cigarettes and onions. The way he looks at me, like I'm the dirt he stomps off his boots and onto the floors. You have been nice to me. You gave me a flower and a soda. And you look at me like I'm somebody special. And I... She closed her eyes so she could find her bravery. I like the way you look. If any of this had been my choice, I would have picked someone who acts and looks like you.
So I'm your type.
Opening her eyes, she looked at him as sadness washed through her. Yes, but it doesn't matter. Nodding slowly, he conceded.
Maybe not.
Unfolding the jeans, he stood and slipped them on, then looked at her with a slight frown. What? She asked. He pressed his hand to her lower back and guided her around the truck, then helped her in. Reaching over her lap to fasten the buckle, he looked up and said,
If I was built for a mate, I would have picked someone like you too.
Chapter 3 The dilapidated sign above the hood of the truck read, Ashland Mobile Park. Kellen's truck was one of those white, monster-looking trucks with fat tires and a lift kit that didn't have the best suspension anymore. Skylar lurched back and forth as he seemed to hit every pothole in this ratty trailer park. The yards were mowed, and there wasn't a single plastic pink flamingo in sight. But she'd heard horror stories about people living in these little communes so far out in the woods, probably making moonshine, or even worse. Maybe this was some kind of meth lab community. What do you do for a living? She asked suspiciously.
I'm a lumberjack. So are the rest of the ash crew. We've got two crews clearing the dead, beetle-infested wood from this area. Us and the graybacks. The Borlanders do the cutting for us before we start on a new job site.
Lumberjacks? She hid a grin. So you must like pancakes, then?
What?
The relief at him not being a criminal, an illegal substance criminal, at least, had her giggling like a lunatic. Never mind, it's a Paul Bunyan joke. A slow smile took his lips as he pulled in front of a trailer that read 1010 on the doorframe.
I like the way you laugh.
I laugh like a hyena, she muttered.
I think it's cute.
Skylar frowned and stared at him, waiting for the punchline, but he didn't offer one. Instead, he hopped out of the truck. She did the same and studied the trailer he was headed for. The tiny home was painted a light cream color with dark green shutters and a rusty red door. It was small, a single wide, and ancient.
"It looks drafty," she observed, fidgeting.
"It is, and it has a resident mouse you'll do best to ignore. We keep taking him out, but he just comes right back in. He's a part of this place. Dennison named him Nards, on account of his giant
testicles," she finished. "How charming. So Dennison lives here?"
"No, 1010 is yours. Brooke used to live here, but when she gets back from the city, she'll be moving in over there."
Kellen pointed to a trailer across the dirt road from where they stood. A pang of something unsavory slashed through her. She'd forgotten about Brooke, but now guilt bombarded her. She shouldn't have looked at Kellen naked. He was taken, and Skylar wasn't interested in stepping on another woman's territory. She got what he was saying. When Brooke returned from wherever it was she'd been visiting, she'd be moving in with Kellen. An image flashed across her imagination of Brooke and Kellen making love tonight. The walls of 1010 looked paper thin, and no doubt she'd be able to hear them. A nauseous, unexplainable feeling punched her gut as she followed Kellen inside. Why shouldn't he want to have sex with his mate? She'd been away from him, and he had every right to enjoy himself with his woman. It shouldn't make any difference to Skylar. But it did. She resented Brooke for catching such a good man. Sure, he was a too-honest-for-his-own-good kidnapper, but he probably treated Brooke like a queen. How had Skylar been so unlucky to garner the attention of master manipulator Roger, who'd probably never said a kind word to a woman in all of his life? And now she'd been stolen away by this sexy-as-hell woodcutter werebear who was utterly unavailable. The unfairness of it all stacked up like brick walls around her heavy heart. Kellen should have just left her back at Roger's house. She'd accepted her life, and now it wasn't good enough anymore. Tomorrow, she'd go back to Roger, and it would hurt 10 times worse to absorb the awful things he said to her and the insulting names he called her. She'd resent him even more for what he'd done to ruin her life. Her crappy fate would have been easier to bear if she'd been allowed to continue to guard her heart and not wish for more. The turmoil swimming inside of her now was all Kellen's fault.
"You want the tour?" he asked.
"No. I think I can find my way around a single-wide trailer home without your help."
Her voice snapped like a rubber band, and she hated how it sounded. She was polite and non-confrontational by nature, but this was all too much. Roger was probably losing his shit by now, wondering where she was, and by the time she went back tomorrow, he'd be furious. A black eye was going to be the least of her worries. Kellen frowned at her, but nodded slowly, then strode toward the door.
"Oh," he said, turning. "We're having a little celebration tonight for Brooke's return. I'd be honored if you came. With me. As my..."
He ran his hands roughly through his dark hair and sighed. Then tried again.
"I'd like it if you let me sit by you."
His nostrils flared as he inhaled slowly.
"I mean, I want to feed you and take care of you."
Okay, he'd been doing a good job of asking her to the party until the last part. Who said stuff like that? He wanted to feed her? Was it a fetish, perhaps? But he was staring at her so openly, awaiting her answer. And as strange as his combination of words were, they pulled at something deep within her, something she'd long thought was dead. He wanted to take care of her. Even though he was paired with Brooke, he was still friend enough to want to show her how a man should treat a woman.
"Okay."
A slow smile crept across his face, and he approached her slow.
"Yeah?"
"It's not like I have that much of a choice, Kellen Cade Brown. You kidnapped me, remember?" The smile faded from his face, and he crooked a finger under her chin until she lifted her gaze to his.
"You can escape this place anytime you want. Your will is free here, beautiful. Go with me because you want to, not because I'm making you."
She nodded once, and his eyes dipped to her lips. The humor she'd seen in his expression a second ago didn't exist anymore. The air grew heavy around them, like it had in the truck. But this time, it wasn't uncomfortable. It was warm like a blanket, and settled her nerves. He touched her cheek, then cupped the back of her neck gently with his oversized hand. His thumb stroked circles into her hair, and with his other hand, he tucked a dark tress behind her ear, away from her face. She was exposed here, in front of this almost stranger, but for the first time in a long time, she felt like someone actually saw her. Her, not what she could do for him, or how important her bloodline and children would be. Kellen was looking at her, as if he knew her down to her bones. Slowly, he lowered his lips to hers. She should run. This was wrong. They were promised and bound to others, but he held her in his gaze, and she was transfixed and helpless to flee. Angling his head, he pressed his lips against hers. She was surprised at how soft they were. He was scarred, a tall, wide, hard man who filled the air around him with dominance. His lips should have been demanding, but they weren't. They plucked at hers with tiny, sexy smacking sounds until she leaned into him and stood on her tiptoes for more. Wrapping her arms around his neck, she opened her mouth to allow him to taste her. His tongue brushed hers in the softest touch, and a delicious rumble filled his throat. She'd done that, pulled that sexy noise from him. She nibbled on his bottom lip, and he gasped. His expression went completely blank, and he moved away as if to escape her. But then he leaned in again and held her tightly against his chest. Stroking your hair, he said, "I shouldn't have done that. You aren't ready, and you need to be alone to find yourself before a man touches you like that again. I'm sorry."
Done what? Kissed her?
Hell yeah, I shouldn't have done that. He had a mate, and he was currently soaking the panties of another woman, namely her. But he was rocking slowly back and forth, crushing her to his sternum, and the guilt just kept piling up and up. He wasn't worried about Brooke. He was worried he'd kiss Skylar while she was still traumatized by Roger's abuse. This was all so confusing. A lump formed in her throat, suffocating her as he squeezed her even harder. Panic froze her as the repercussions of what she'd just done with him set in. He hadn't just kissed her. He'd changed her.
"I think you should go," she whispered.
Because she was definitely about to fall apart, and she didn't want him to see her shatter into a million pieces of broken, messy Skylar. She was porcelain right now. Raw, fragile, and spider-webbed with cracks so thin they were almost invisible. But all it took was one more blow, and she'd be nothing but sharp edges and dust. "You want me to leave?" he asked, sounding hurt.
"I need you to."
His throat moved against her cheek as he swallowed hard. "I'm sorry," he said again, then turned without another word and left her alone. It was hard to keep her sobbing quiet. She knew what he was now, and it wasn't a lesser shifter. He wasn't a field mouse or an otter. He was an apex predator, born to sense everything in his territory. He'd hear her hitched breathing and quiet weeping, but she didn't want to share this heartache with him or anyone else. She wasn't his problem. Her insecurities were her own. She padded through the tiny living area and kitchen to the bedroom where a neatly made queen-size bed took up the middle of the room, bracketed by two windows covered with pretty blue blackout curtains. The room was darker than the rest of the house. This was it. Her sanctuary. This was where her heart would break. And for the first time in months, it felt okay somehow. She hadn't dared to shed a single tear in the cabin she'd lived in with Roger. He'd hate her even more for feeling anything at all. But here, for reasons she couldn't understand, she felt safe to let her demons out. Quietly, though. She curled up under the soft comforter, pulled a pillow close, and held it against her face as she screamed her fury at the world, at the people she'd been born to, and Roger's unfortunate attention. For what he'd done to her. The bruises on her face and the scars that Kellen wouldn't see because she'd never let him witness what Roger had really done to her. When her throat had gone hoarse and felt lined with glass, her cries of anger turned to weeping for what Kellen had shown her. He'd given a broken girl a flower and a soda just because he was a nice person. But he would never realize what he'd really done. He'd made her want. He'd made her need more from a pairing than a demanding mate who would hurt her in the bedroom someday, who would strip her down to nothing but bone and marrow until she didn't feel anything. Kellen had made her life unacceptable with a kind gesture. He'd kidnapped her, sure, but he'd done it because he honestly thought he was saving her. How could she resent him for that? Her own father hadn't come to her rescue when she phoned him and explained the horrible things Roger called her. Roger had grabbed her arm so hard, it had bruised fingerprints around the inside of her elbow for days. Dad hadn't come. He told her to buck up. A mating isn't supposed to be easy. But Kellen made her think that a mating shouldn't be this damned hard. That's when her crying turned pitiful. Kellen. She was drawn to him. Had been since she watched him pick out flowers in the grocery store. But he'd never be hers. Not even close. He hadn't taken her because he liked her. He'd kidnapped her because he pitied her, which was the worst part of all. She'd done a fantastic job of hiding her predicament from everyone, bar her father. She'd managed to live in her own private hell, wishing something would happen to free her from the mess she'd found herself in. And when her sexy, bear-shifter knight and shining flannel swooped in there, it had been scary, liberating, and empowering. But he belonged to another. God, she was pathetic, pining for some strange-talking man she didn't understand, who was in love with another. He was a stranger. This had to be her heart's desperate attempt at latching on to the first man to show her kindness. Her tears ran dry, and she hiccuped and gasped until she couldn't cry anymore. Her head ached, her eyes were swollen. And she probably looked like a psychotic raccoon thanks to her unfortunate decision to wear mascara this morning. But deep inside, she felt a little better. What was it about crying her eyes out that released all of that ache she'd been harboring? She should have felt like a weakling. But instead, she felt more clear-minded than she had in months. Roger wasn't it for her. Her life had meaning. All it had taken was a few hours with a nice stranger to show her she had more value than a fertile womb and the bloodline that ran her veins. She inhaled deeply and hugged her pillow to her chest. But the banishment, her epiphany didn't matter. She was utterly and unfailingly stuck in this lonely life. Nards, the mouse, crept across the dark wood laminate flooring, dragging his giant testicles behind him, and she couldn't help a tiny smile. She wasn't alone after all. Her gaze arced after him as he sped up and disappeared under the bathroom door. Her gaze met a pair of silvery blue eyes, simmering with emotion. She gasped and sat up. Kellen was crouched on the floor, weight shifted on one leg like he'd wanted to escape, but couldn't.
Kellen, how long have you been there?
He hunched his shoulders at the shrill pitch of her voice, but damn it. That sob fest had been meant for a pathetic party of one. You were crying, he said. I know. I wanted to do it alone. He dipped his chin and canted his head, eyes on the bedskirt beneath her. No one should cry like that alone.
Yes, they should, if they want to be alone.
He frowned, looking entirely baffled. Oh. He shifted his attention to the door, where several tall, sexy-looking, sweat- and dirt-streaked men hovered. She's okay. You sure? A stocky man with a shaved head and a tattoo down his neck asked. She doesn't look like she's okay to me. Who the fuck did that to your face? A Nordic-looking man with slanted eyes and shoulder-length blonde hair asked. He appeared savage in the dim light as shadows stretched across his furious face. Drew? Kellen warned.
No! Explain, Kellen. You brought a woman up here and she's all banged up and crying. We need to know what's going on.
She ain't just a woman. Not like Brooke was, Kellen said, standing slowly. She's a shifter. Been beat up by her own kind.
That true? Drew asked.
The man I'm promised to, she circled her finger in front of her face. Did this.
Why? A sandy brown-haired man with a beard asked. Kellen handed her a box of tissues, and she wiped her face and tried to smile. It hurt.
I wasn't being a good enough mate.
Fuck that, Drew said in a careless tone. Who is he? We'll fix him right up for you.
No,
she rushed out. Lowering her voice to a more tolerable level, she repeated, no. Kellen was nice enough to take me away, to give me a little break from him. But I don't want this starting some shifter war or anything. It's fine, I'm figuring everything out.
She licked her dry lips and said,
I'm Skylar. Kellen handed her a Dixie cup of cool water and said,
Skylar, meet the Ash crew. We all work the mountain to the east of the trailer park together. That's Drew.
He pointed to the Nordic-looking man.
Hayden is over there, he said, and the man with a tattoo and shaved head nodded once in greeting. Dennison is the ugly one with a beard, and Brighton was born to the same sow.
When he pointed to the two men with light brown hair and light facial scruff, she thought Kellen had to be teasing by calling them ugly. They were very handsome.
Your brothers?
By blood. The whole crew feels like family to us, though. Dennison said with a kind smile. We've been together for years. My brother over here don't talk, but he understands just fine.
Hi, Brighton,
she said with a shy, two-fingered wave. Brighton smiled, his green eyes crinkling, and he nodded. He pointed to her face, and the smile dropped from his face. He looked sad.
It doesn't hurt much anymore, she lied. It happened Thursday.
I'm Bruiser. An imposing man with muscular arms the size of tree trunks said from the doorway, We'll get out of your hair, but if you need us to gut the man who did that to your face, just say the word. We've been itching for a fight since Connor and Jed.
Bruiser, Drew said in a harsh voice. The behemoth frowned.
Right. You probably wouldn't want to hear about all that. If you need anything, just holler.
The crew of disastrously good-looking lumberjack bear shifters shuffled from the room. Brighton approached and touched her shoulder, and Dennison did the same before they left. She understood. Touch was important to most shifters, and it did make her feel comforted that these strangers didn't seem to mean her any harm. Apex predators they might be, but mindless hunters they were not. Kellen jerked his head toward the window as his eyes took on a faraway look.
They're back.
Who?
She asked. A slow, stunning smile took his face.
Brooke's home.
Chapter 4 Dread slammed into Skylar like a punch in the gut. It was hard to draw breath as Kellen rushed at the door.
Come out when you're ready, he called. I want you to meet her.
The front door banged closed, and she imagined him and Brooke running toward each other and clashing into each other's arms. But she was an adult who'd only met Kellen this afternoon, and no matter what her traitorous heart was trying to tell her, she didn't have feelings for him like that. He was an acquaintance, a friend at most. That was all. And as his friend, she needed to support his relationship with a woman he obviously cared for deeply. With a sigh of determination, she stood and made her way into the bathroom. Nards was nowhere to be found, so she stepped up to the sink and stifled a yelp. She looked like hell on a hot day. The makeup she'd attempted to cover the bruises with this morning had run off. Her mascara streaked down her cheeks. The oversized flannel shirt she'd been hiding from the world in made her boobs look saggy, and her nose was red. With a strangled groan, she splashed water over her face until her makeup was completely gone, then shimmied out of her red flannel button-up. Underneath, she wore a red tank top with tiny black polka dots that hugged her slim figure. Roger never would have let her wear something so revealing in public. He'd said he didn't like people seeing too much of her skin. But fuck it all. She was smack dab in the middle of a trailer park, overrun by badass bear shifters. If Roger had a problem with what she wore here, he could take it up with their canines. She knelt down, feeling the stretch of her favorite pair of black leggings, and retied the laces on her dark hiking boots. When she stood, she was determined to make a good impression on Brooke and the rest of the people here. She liked the Ash crew. They didn't know her from Eve, but they'd offered to go after Roger when they'd seen the bruises on her face. In those few minutes she'd conversed with them, they'd won her loyalty. Running her fingers through the soft waves of her long, gnarled hair, she rushed to the front door. With a steadying sigh, she rallied her reserve, then threw the door open wide and hustled onto the small porch. She'd expected Brooke to be beautiful. How could she not be to have caught the attention of a man who looked like Kellen? And she'd been right. Brooke stepped out of a silver Volvo in front of a trailer across the dirt road. It was hard to make her out through the crowd of men around her hugging her up tight. But through the shifting bodies, she could make out long, curled blonde hair, and animated green eyes, an easy smile, and laugh lines. Kellen handed her a box of wine and the flowers, and she doubled over laughing before she side-hugged his waist. Their interaction lacked chemistry. Skylar frowned. She'd expected to have to witness kissing and groping, but Kellen easily passed her off to Dennison for a hug. A lean man with dark hair and blue eyes she didn't recognize sauntered around the back of a black pickup truck and clapped Kellen on the back. They murmured something much too low for her to hear and laughed. Then the man did something incomprehensible. He leaned over and kissed Brooke square on the lips. It was one of those tender, romantic, all-in-with-the-feels kisses that made Skylar blush for witnessing. Kellen jogged over to Skylar, but he stopped at the porch stairs, and his eyes went round. "You look..." He left the word unspoken as his eyes raked over the tight fit of her tank top, leggings, and her clunky boots. "I don't understand," she said on a breath. "I thought Brooke was yours." Kellen angled his head and narrowed his eyes.
"My what?"
"Your mate."
"Brooke," he sputtered. "She's Tegan's mate. She's mate to the Alpha. I care for her deeply. We all do. She's the only female in our crew, and she's the best of us. She's my friend, not my mate."
Skylar felt stupid and tricked. "But you bought her flowers."
"Because she deserves them. And wine, because she likes it better than the beer we drink here. She's a real lady. And ladies deserve for men to do sweet things for them."
Kellen looked innocent and baffled in the waning evening light. He also looked a little upset. "I'm sorry," she said, relief flooding her until she was lightheaded. "Every time you spoke of Brooke, I thought you were talking about her because you loved her."
"I don't have a mate."
Now he sounded offended. "I don't deserve one. And it isn't my fate to protect a woman like that. All I'll have is Brooke. My friend." His shoulders drew up near his ears, as if he was embarrassed, and a soft blush touched his cheeks. "Hey," she said, desperate to comfort him. His uneasiness was her fault for making assumptions. She jogged down the stairs and touched his hand, then looked up into his eyes, now churning silvery blue again.
"I made a mistake. I didn't know."
She squeezed his hand, and he looked down at where their palms touched with a confused frown.
"I'm glad she isn't your mate," she whispered.
His startled gaze crashed into hers. "Why?"
"Uh-oh. Okay, she shouldn't have admitted to her feelings like that. She wasn't in a position where she could pursue a relationship with anyone, much less with someone who felt as dangerous to her heart as Kellen." "I don't know why I said that."
She shrugged and dragged her gaze to the toes of his scuffed work boots. "No games. Why are you glad?" Her breath trembled as she was caught by his eyes, demanding she be honest. His chest heaved under the t-shirt that clung to the sharp angles of his defined chest. He squeezed her hand again and whispered, "Why?"
"Because..."
She wasn't good with words and couldn't think of any way to explain how strongly she felt for someone she just met. Instead of speaking, she pulled his hand over her racing heartbeat, just under her collarbone.
"Because this..."
A slow smile stretched his lips as he canted his head and felt her pounding pulse against his hand. Slowly, he drew her hand over his breastbone and pressed it against the hard muscle there. His heart was racing hers.
"Me too," he murmured.
"Kellen?"
The man from the truck, Tegan, asked.
"Who is she?"
Kellen swallowed hard, breaking the spell and pulling his hand away from her.
"Tegan, this is Skylar."
His alpha gave him a long, hard look and blinked slow, then brought his icy blue eyes to hers.
"I know what you are, and I'm pretty sure I know who your mate is, too.
Roger Crestfall?" Skylar nodded but was compelled to explain.
"He isn't my mate. Not yet. There's been no ceremony."
"And your face?"
Did he do that to you? Brooke stood right behind her mate, looking at her with ghosts in her eyes. Skylar's breath hitched at having to explain something so painful to people she wanted to like her.
He pushed me. The counter helped with the coloring.
Your people.